St. Good afternoon, St. Louis. DG SM KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Thursday, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
God.
Why not?
Isn't it weird how we do that every week? Like, to some extent, we just... I don't do it during the day. I never go, it's 1 p.m.? Are you kidding me? I thought it
right.
was 8 a.m. But with the... And I don't do it with months. Like, I can't... I thought it was October. But somehow with
days,
weeks,
yeah.
days
yeah.
get mixed up.
Yeah. And you know what's odd? After everything that happened going back to Saturday and how absolutely insane this whole week has been, it feels like it's flying
yeah,
by.
It's going pretty quick.
It's
it feels
flying
like it's
almost by.
Yeah,
because there's so because there is so much
maybe
news.
That's it.
I mean, when the Trump documents case gets dismissed on a Monday and every day you forgot that happened
yeah.
because
yeah.
of everything else that's going on,
we barely talked about it.
I know. I'm like, wow, that's old news.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. It's just it has just been crazy. Guess what today is? National Day.
National
hot dog?
No, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
But we had hot dogs today for that, though. We celebrated it.
It's
later.
National Listening Day.
National Listening Day.
So I thought maybe Andrew and Ron might want to just listen to each other.
Oh, hold on. Let me get Andrew pulled up over
here. Oh. All right. Go ahead.
Do we have any theme
and
music,
Ron,
like some background
you,
music?
He's had a rough day.
He has?
Oh, he has.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm a bad board operator right now. I usually have him ready to go at the beginning of the show. Okay, he's ready.
His day got
no
worse.
No one's listening.
Now I can do nothing but listen.
Is that an Odyssey thing? I'm listening.
Yeah,
Andrew,
it is.
Andrew's had a tough food morning.
What happened, buddy?
You saw. I ate too many white. Well, I had a donut. I didn't think I had what? What is this face you're making at me?
Oh, okay. No, I never mind. Go ahead.
Chris made
I'm just
an insane
listening.
Face
Chris was like this.
Me.
He was like, I'm listening.
He got Gates face.
This is it's, you're not used to it. It's his listening face.
It's my listening face.
It would be weird if it was the Gates face.
I wish
face. That would be
stop
weird.
Listening. I started with
you
a donut.
Talk, you're not gonna start talking about Scoots, are you?
Started with it. No.
Okay.
Why would I do that?
There's the name of
I'm
your autobiography.
You.
It started with a donut.
I don't. Yeah.
That'd be a great band, Ronj, the Scoots.
We've done nothing but interrupt this poor man.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not doing a good job listening.
Like,
hey, guys, I'm trying to hear Andrew. Andrew, please, go ahead.
So, the donut, you guys saw the donut, right?
Where was the donut,
donut
from?
I didn't see the donut.
Casey's donut, yum.
Yeah, it's a good donut. And so I did not assume that there would be a whole bunch of White Castle here, but lo and behold. So I ate a bunch of those this morning. I know you saw that. You
I did
were
see that.
On it.
I did see. I saw you as soon as you found out there was White Castle. It's the fastest I've ever seen anybody stand up. The response time on that was impeccable.
Gotta get them fast, man. There's been White Castle here before. It goes quick. It goes quick. If you
these
won't...
didn't.
No, they're still there.
Well, the breakfast ones are still there. And the like ice cold mushy tater tots, those are still there.
Mm.
You had to act fast to get the actual burgers.
I'm
which
sure
I
that's
did.
Exactly the promotion they were hoping for.
Yeah.
Ice cold mushy tater tots. Get your ice cold mushy tater tots.
This is not a knock on White Castle, but if you leave tater tots out for 7 hours at a radio station, they're going to get a little cold mushy.
Looking for a little promotion.
I mean, you
it
know,
is what it is.
If you leave out fine dining for hours, it's
that's
not going to be great.
That's what I'm talking about.
If you go
that's
to French Laundry and you leave the food out, it wouldn't
that's
be good.
That's what I'm saying, so, but I acted fast to get the burgers, and I did, and they were hungry.
What's the bad part of the morning? Because it sounds pretty good, donut and White Castle.
And that's all just sitting here. Because then Kevin brought in a hot dog, and I ate the whole thing.
You did? Oh.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right, Kobayashi.
So how are you
that's
doing
the,
right now? Kobayashi.
That's the name of my autobiography.
What's
I ate the whole
thing. If you've ever seen a special on the Navy SEALs doing the buds training,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
in Hell Week,
yep.
When he sat down with that hot dog, that was the vibe.
Not gonna break.
Was he shaking because he had been out in the cold?
I don't know any of this. I don't know that he's already had these adventures this morning.
Yeah, they've noticed.
But he, I know he's about to eat a hot dog, one of his favorite things in the world. And he sits down, and he just goes, and he rubs his face.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, you okay? And then he goes into the story, which I didn't even have the heart to go, like, maybe you should not eat the hot dogs.
Yeah, anyway, right?
I knew which way it was
yeah,
going.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, because I had to eat while it was fresh.
Andrew, did you end up getting a hot dog for dinner last night like you wanted to?
I did. I also had a hot dog for dinner last night. We went to Sam's just for the dinner. Well, it's not the dinner. It's the Sam's Cafe. They didn't have like a banquet.
Sam's or Costco?
Sam's. They hosted a dinner.
I'm not sure.
There's ever been a true hot dog intervention before? If you replace hot dog with vodka, we'd be having a very different conversation.
Hey, you would be listening.
Yes.
But I went to the.
We love you. We care about you.
I had the idea because it was hot dog day yesterday, which everyone knows. And so I was like, I texted my wife. I was like, what if we went to Sam's Cafe? I told this to Rachel. Mm-hmm. I was like, what if we went to Sam's Cafe for dinner? And she texted back, I really just want to go home. I'm tired. And I was like, No, we don't have to shop. We just go to the cafe. And she sent back, okay, period.
Which is a good woman.
Oh, that's she put the punctuation
angry,
on.
Say that's taking angry, one for a team right there.
Angry reservation that I'm not going to stop asking if we can go to Sam's for dinner until it happens. And we did.
Man.
And I think I stole pizza, which I feel bad about.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so I ordered two hot dog combos and a slice of pizza. And then whatever Megan wanted. And so when he's getting the pizza out, he puts this enormous slice on a plate. And it was like clearly his first day because he was having trouble working all the scanners and stuff. So he put this enormous slice of pizza on a plate, and then he gets the pizza cutter and cuts it in half. And I see my opening. I'm like, ooh, this is my chance. So I grab the plate and I just go, hey, thanks, man. And then I just ran off with it.
So you stole pizza.
I don't know I stole pizza because I don't know how big the slices are. Because the slices are pretty substantial. And this would have been like two smaller slices.
Pizza.
But if there was meant to be just two separate slices, yeah, I stole pizza.
You know what's going to happen in like 4 or 5 days? That guy's going to be called into an office and the manager's going to say, there's a missing slice of pizza. Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened to it? And it'll be you. You stole it.
Well, the number of times I heard him shout, I don't care about any of this, while he was working through the line of 30 people in front of me. Yes.
Helping out his fellow man once again.
He was having a rough time to begin with. He wasn't having a nice time. I don't think he'll be too devastated if he doesn't work here anymore.
That is the funniest thing that you can hear from somebody working. I don't care about any of this.
He just kept saying,
here's your food.
And like the other
coworkers. Hopefully not your pilot.
Well, the other coworkers were not really helping him. They were like coming up and they're like, no, you didn't scan that right. You have to scan this twice and then you scan this over here. And he goes, I don't care. I don't care about this.
I love that.
Because people were also, they were out of a lot of stuff. So people were getting kind of mad. They didn't have any, they weren't going to make any more pretzels. They weren't going to make any more ice cream. So he had plenty of opportunities to go, I don't care that you're mad that we don't have pretzels.
You're very Forrest Gumpian.
You just listen.
You get a lot of adventures.
Mm-hmm. You gotta listen. Yeah, yeah. You gotta take in what's going on around and then frantically write it down on your phone so you don't forget about it.
Smart. In the spirit of an intervention, do you feel like you've hit the rock bottom of hot dogism, or are you?
Oh no! Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
No, I felt way worse.
Denial
is
the first stage.
Yeah, I felt way, way worse than this, and it wasn't the hot dog that done it to me. It was the donut and then stacking a bunch of burgers on top of it.
Oh.
Well, those things went first, though.
We can't blame the hot dog. Hot dog did nothing. Hot dog's blameless. Hot dog did nothing wrong.
Hot dog's just an inanimate object, right?
I knew the hot dog was coming in when I ate
hot
the donut
and the
burgers.
Hot dogs don't kill, people kill.
Right? So it's like the hot dog actually came first in this equation.
Is it really the
I just stacked
fault?
It last. Well, it's the combination of burgers and donut, which is a heavy...
More operator error.
And I also drank a big like strawberry Mountain Dew thing that I found.
Dude.
That you found?
Well, I didn't find. I mean, I found it at the gas station.
Somebody left it on the curb. Like, oh, that looks good.
It's like a video game he's like
Dude,
collecting.
Had yeah, she been
I didn't
right,
scavenge it.
It would have been a real intervention. If you're drinking things you find.
Oh, my God. That's like the eclair in the garbage can. It's only got one bite out of it.
I'm drinking poison because it says poison Mountain Dew, and I'm like, all right.
New flavor.
I'll try it.
Flavor, yeah. Only available at Casey's.
I'll try it. I did. You know what? It's funny that you bring this up, too. So when we're driving to Sam's Club, we pass a 7-Eleven. They don't really have 7-Elevens over near where I live, but there's a ton around here. And so they have an exclusive berry flavor of some kind, some sort of Mountain Dew. And so we drive past one, and it's behind us, and the street is, like, super busy. It would be very difficult to navigate away from the street. And I say, like, oh, there's a 7-Eleven. Can we go to that? Because I want to see if they have the... And she just goes, no. No, we're not. We're not turning around.
Good for her. No.
We're not turning around to go to the 7-Eleven on the, like, McCausland or whatever it was.
Would
like,
Megan
want to
make an appearance on the show?
Sure. She's done it before.
I mean, apropos of all this.
Oh, she's at work right now. I don't think she'd be able to take time off.
I bet she'd take time off for that.
I don't know.
She could take a 5.
I don't think
she'd
be able
to. Hey, Dave,
if
you want to talk about my eating, she'd be like, oh, I'll call in 2 minutes.
Yep.
Well, she's supportive of it. You know, she's not like...
Of the eating?
Yeah, she's not like, this is a huge problem. She's like, this is fine. She likes hot dogs. You know?
Yeah.
She had a great time. Plus, she like at Sam's, they have a single serve.
Let me say something. I know we're doing a bit, but it just keeps...
I don't think this is a bit. I don't think this is real.
Yeah, it just keeps...
This is what we should be talking about. This is the gross part. So they have these single-serve sauerkraut packets at Sam's.
I'm just going deeper and deeper into the rabbit
hole. And so you can put these on your hot dogs or brats or whatever, and they're just like little packets. She eats... She gets her hot dog. She dresses it up with all the stuff I brought her, like the dill... relish and the ketchup, mustard, whatever. And I bring her the sauerkraut, too, and I'm like, oh, you're not going to put the sauerkraut on? And she goes, no, I'm going to eat that separate. Ew. So she ate the burger, and then she just, like, ate with a fork. She just, like, ate the sauerkraut.
That's not that weird.
It's awful. Sauerkraut's disgusting.
Boy, listening day really fell apart. So far, Andrew has justified, denied, and thrown people under the bus.
Let's not do that again.
Let's not. Mark this down in the calendar for next year.
Listening sucks.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 122. Appreciate you guys voting for the show. We're in the STL Headliners contest for best radio personality. There is a click through over on Facebook if you want to use that, and you can vote once a day. I would appreciate it. We're trying to win this one. That'd be a lot of fun for me. And if you could help me out, do me a solid and vote, especially if you vote each day. Man, if we got our podcasters going, we have 400,000 podcasters in Denver. Not podcasters, but 400,000 downloads. I don't think there's probably much more than 400,000 people in Denver, but...
Yeah.
And they all listened to the show. When I drove through, they were lining the streets.
That's why you were in Colorado.
There's a big picture of you on the state flag.
Word is that Dave Glover's driving through.
They were lining the streets.
Sometimes I just say dumb things. We have 300,000 people in St. Louis listen. Okay, well. It's quite a trick. So I asked these guys just to Google something. New York Magazine just came out with a new issue called The Health Issue. And it is a picture of an obviously photoshopped or AI, whatever we're doing to make people look stupid these days. And it's Trump and Biden standing next to each other, standing on scales, like old-fashioned scales where you slide the little deal over. And Trump's wearing a pair of tidy whities, and it looks like what his body probably looks like. Biden's wearing a pair of boxer shorts, and it looks like probably what his body looks like. And I showed it to Rach in the office, and we both agree it's incredibly insensitive and disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And I think they're taking quite a bit of crap for it.
It's also stupid. And I can't stop looking at it.
Like, I'm serious. What's the point?
But also,
meow.
Again, imagine, I mean, I think it's disrespectful. It's weird that they thought of doing it. I guess it worked because we're talking about it. But imagine it were two female leaders.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I mean, that would be incredibly offensive.
And no different.
No. Right. Same idea.
Right.
How do you think
if Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
It would be, I would be outraged.
Yeah. People would be fired.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How do you think they made the decision of who to put in what article of clothing?
Seems pretty straightforward.
That was my first thought when I looked at it. I was like, Biden boxers, okay.
Shouldn't they both be in the same underwear?
It's weird to differentiate.
Yeah.
That's what makes me ask questions.
The whole thing is weird and stupid. Like, don't make fake pictures of people if you're supposed to be a legitimate outlet.
Especially,
right?
Too, if it's, you know, like we said, AI. And one of the big discussions about AI is using AI to create inappropriate, naked, or pornographic images of famous people. So then on your magazine, which is supposed to be respectable, to have the two presidential candidates, the leaders, potential leaders of the free world, in their underwear, it's just so distasteful.
Would you guys feel differently if it was Mad Magazine?
like yes. clearly a goofy, yes. you know.
That's satire.
I would agree that it's a different vibe. That's this is a different, this is called the health issue. This is not Mad Magazine. It's, I mean, this is supposed to be something serious. And how can I take you seriously if you're going to do this with people that are running for the most important office in the world?
Yeah, agreed.
Well, and there's a link in the story on it, and it takes you to a 2008 cover of Barack Obama and John McCain sitting in beach chairs, and they've got Obama shirtless sitting on the chair, and McCain is wearing like a beach shirt, and they're fist bumping, which is also kind of weird.
Yeah,
I don't. I wonder if it's, is it, and I'm just asking questions. Is it some sort of artistic thing where they're trying to, they're trying to say that these two guys, in terms of health, are so exposed, and we've talked about them so much that we're trying to get inside the health of both of them, almost to a point where it's invading privacy. Is that are they trying to make an artistic statement? I'm just trying to think of what
they could be,
or is it just as simple as we thought this would be cute? Mm-hmm.
They could be.
I mean, it's definitely trying to get attention.
I'm wide open to artistic statements and consider myself a creative person. But if I didn't think that, most people aren't going to think
probably
that.
Probably not.
And I didn't think that.
No.
I just thought it's an attention grab. And yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, it's what so many things are, though. It's all about engagement. Are you getting clicks? Are you going to, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to buy this magazine because of it, but it's their website's getting a bunch of clicks.
Yep.
You know, they'll sell a lot of those digital ads.
I wasn't going to think about New York Magazine today.
No. And again, will we end up doing anything that gets them some money? Probably not. You know, I mean, but the point,
you know, they're there still.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a little bit of dehumanizing because we talk about it. If it were Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Nikki Haley, I would be furious. It would be objectifying, disgusting. This is also disgusting. And also it's undignified and disrespectful. If that were like my dad
sure.
were president, it's foul on every level.
You avoid complications. She never kept.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
134. DGS and KMOX have Ricky Horton coming up at the top of the next hour. Gorgeous day out there. Going to be beautiful for the next week or so. Big speech tonight at the RNC and Donald Trump, and everyone's waiting to see whether he truly does pivot and it's all about unity and I almost lost my life and everything's different now, or if it's going to be something more familiar to us. I have to say, and I've been saying this since Saturday, I like to be honest and I like to be consistent and I like to be textured and not monolithic that, oh, I'm known for, you know, I can't stand Trump. And that's just so boring. I have to say that last night watching him walk out and take his little perch there in the VIP area and then watching everyone just chuck and jive and dance and, you know, try to mollify the man. He did it. I mean, I don't like the way he does things. I don't like his rhetoric. I don't like the way he conducts and comports himself. But in like a Game of Thrones kind of way, he's sitting on the throne. Like, he managed to do it. And you go back to 2016 and everyone laughed at him. And then you look at, you know, the loss in 2020 and January 6th and everyone turning against him and blaming him for it. And then within days, people going to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. However he's done it, by hook or crook, he's picked up 34 felony counts, $500 million in damages from defamation and sex assault and fraud in New York. And he is sitting in the absolute catbird seat. Thoughts?
Well, I think it's because, and I don't know how he's done it, but I can't recall a president, at least in my lifetime, who has automatically, no matter what, already had 33% of the people. Like there's just this core that it does not matter what he does. So when that's your starting point, it's almost like, you know, he starts extra innings with a runner on second and nobody else gets that. So I think when you have that advantage right off the top, it's probably easy to just, you know, be whoever you are. Now, how did he get to that point where they love him that much? I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer for any of that. But I know he is coming from a starting position that I don't recall a candidate ever having.
Yeah, I think he's a salesman, he's a showman, he's a con man, and he knows how to read a room. He's very, very good at that. And by reading a room, I even mean reading the country. He saw a hole. He saw the shifting of the parties, the Democratic Party moving further left, alienating the average worker a bit, alienating the American with traditional values as they continue to move further left. He saw a hole. He exploited their fears. He exploited where they felt unheard. And he saw what people wanted. And what I mean by that is, if you're looking for a solution to be conned, you kind of have to want to be conned. And if you're looking for a solution to a problem and you have the option of, to use the food analogy, diet and exercise, sleep and self-discipline, or just a pill where you can keep doing everything else you want to do, you're going to take the pill. Donald Trump offered that pill where, hey, here's who we can focus on. We can focus on this guy. He's going to hear us. He's going to represent us. And he was able to con the voters. And once you have the voters, you have all of the people in Congress who are now desperate to keep their jobs. So even though J.D. Vance 8 years ago said Trump had the potential to be America's Hitler, even though Lindsey Graham said we should never vote for Trump and if we lose, we'll deserve it, they've all turned. And they've turned because the voters have turned, and now they have to kiss the ring or become irrelevant. And it is incredible how he was able to take the helm and reshape the Republican Party in his image.
And the voters he does have, you know, like the 30-ish to 33% that he does have, they are unturnable. You can't tell them anything ever that will get them to say, oh, maybe I shouldn't be voting for this guy.
And the thing is, too,
it'll never happen.
And the thing is, I get the resentment from the more traditional American who maybe says, like,
so
man,
do I.
Man, I hate Trump, but the Democratic Party is just, they're elitist, they're academic, they've got all these, you know, bizarre critical theories on race and gender, and they're not standing up for the American worker anymore. And they can say, okay, I don't like Trump, but I'm gonna go to him because I feel resentful of what the Democratic Party has become. They said last night on CNN, the Clinton voter is increasingly, the Clinton Democrat is increasingly turning to Trump. And that's not because those voters have changed, it's because the parties have changed. I have never seen a vice presidential speech in the Republican Party like J.D. Vance. No abortion, no tax cuts, no free trade, no religious freedom. It was straight up populism. I've never seen something like that before.
And certainly it was intentional.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance, like, is not doing something by
no.
happenstance.
Corporations, we're going to not let the corporate elites stomp on the worker anymore. We're going to tax the corporate elites.
Do you think it's
elites.
Because the corporate elites are in on it? They go like, yeah, you say whatever you need to say about us.
Kinda.
So long as...
Kind of.
Well,
I mean,
you guys
that's
see
my
the story?
Default feeling.
No.
Like in the last...
Wall Street.
...few weeks, there have been something like 15 billionaires that have thrown their weight behind Trump because they know they want tax cuts. And when you're a billionaire, a tax cut is a huge amount of money. When you're a normal person, a tax cut is not really going to change your life. And it doesn't change a billionaire's life either. But what they care about is more,
but
right? When you're at that level.
Vance was saying.
No, I know they're saying that, but their policies
but
will not reflect that because they're not going to do anything that would potentially hurt people that are in Trump's sphere.
Some of the billionaire tech people.
I mean, do we really think that Elon Musk is going to back him because it's not going to be financially beneficial for him?
Right. Well, I don't know. But at the same time, again, and Vance, and this is where he might have even strayed a little bit more populist than Trump, who's a business guy. I mean, Vance has said over and over again he likes Lina Khan, the head of the FTC, who's stopping all of these mergers from big corporations. I mean, he wants the whole Republican Party has been critical of Khan, except for Vance, who's like, he goes, that's the person in the Biden administration who's doing well, who's doing what I want done. And she is really focusing on a hyper scrutiny of corporations and mergers. And so, again, he's the vice president, so he doesn't have power over that. But if he is the future of the Republican Party, maybe Elon likes Trump. He might not like Vance if Vance becomes president down the road.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that's this happens in almost all races, right? You're going to find a vice presidential candidate who doesn't have any say over your policy. But when they speak, they can speak to a certain group of people that you need to bring in. Regardless of who that is and regardless of which party it is, you're always trying to find a vice presidential candidate that brings something that the main candidate doesn't bring.
I don't think Vance does. Vance doesn't bring in anybody new.
It's the working guy, right? It's the working guy who hears that. They had the head of the UAW, his first time ever. And he was talking about Teamsters. And he was talking about pro-worker things. That's nothing about what the party's platform has been. It's always been more pro-business and not so much about what's good for the worker.
Yeah.
And I would love it if that's the turn. If that's the turn and you're going to start looking out for employees, well, damn, that's exactly what we want. That's what we need. But yeah. Is it going to be talk or is it going to be real?
Let's talk with Trump.
Continue this after the break. Claire McCaskill just said today that every ounce of Reaganism is out of the Republican Party. If you'd like to join us, 314-436-7900. 148 DGS. Well, we have the whole crew here talking some politics since tonight is the big night at the RNC and Donald Trump will accept the nomination of the Republican Party and give a speech, which I am hoping is a revelatory, complete sea change for him. I'm not holding my breath. And even if he does, you know, wait a couple weeks, everything could change. But Claire McCaskill said something this morning I thought was quite striking. We all kind of intuited it the same way, but that every bit of Reagan Republicanism is gone from the Republican Party, that it is Donald Trump's 100%, that there's no one left who is non-Trump in the Republican Party. On a more local level, it would, instead of Reagan, and I mean this honestly, it's sort of the Marx scores, you know, that you to me are very old school. When I think of an old school Republican, that I think of you. So how does that make you feel? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It was kind of shocking watching, as Wheeler said, Sean O'Brien, president of the Teamsters, controversial that it was on both sides that he was there. The fact that he was there, what he was talking about, J.D. Vance and his talking points last night. It's a very, very different Republican Party than before, where it's not about small government. It's not about free market at all. There's no free trade, letting the free market work itself out.
Let me stop you there. Yeah. Why? What don't they like about free trade?
So what they have seen, and this was the kind of the gist of Vance's speech, is the downtrodden American worker. It's very declinist. It's very much that America is fading. China is winning. All these other countries are winning. And the American worker is being trampled on. And so unless we get more tariffs, unless we buy things and stay truly American made, the American worker is going to suffer. It's also anti-elite. Populism sees the elites, whether those elites are corporate or Hollywood or academics. They don't get the average American.
How do they keep a straight face on that?
This is the thing that drives me crazy, though. The problems they're describing are largely because there are too many billionaires. The number of billionaires and the amount of corporate profit that has increased in the last 20, 25 years is why Americans don't have more.
And it's exponential, too.
They will not touch that, though, because they need those people and they need their money. And that's why I hate what Amy's describing, because you're right, Amy. That is the message. But their platform is not about that. Their actions are not about that. their actions are not about making my life better as a middle-class American.
But here's
they want to protect the Elon Musks of the world because Elon Musk gives them $45 million a month.
But I do think there's something to be said for that being an older Republican platform. And people have said, well, Trump has said he campaigned in 2016 of repealing Obamacare. Yeah, because if you are taking a non-transformed Republican Party, a traditional Republican Party, you have to parrot Republican Party points. Then you start injecting populism. Once he has control of the party, he doesn't care about repealing Obamacare anymore. He's not going to do that. He may have said, like, giving corporate tax cuts, he's going to give some, but some of the actual his actions, his policies will look less and less traditional Republican, and they're going to look more populist. There's not going to be any talk about being fiscally conservative. They're not going to talk about that. They're not going to talk about free trade. They're not going to have the generally more hawkish military tendencies of Republicans. It's going to be increasingly isolationist, and having a muscular foreign policy, that's going to go by the wayside. And so even the issue of abortion, I'm telling you, is going to kind of fade a little bit. It's not going to be the talking point for Donald Trump. He's going to have, and I think they've already adopted one of their least pro-life platforms as an official party goes. So you can't just jump in and change things automatically. I do think it was a little bit of a slow turn until he had full control of the helm. As far as how I feel, I mean, Nikki Haley was kind of the last dying gasp, and I know even she now has flip-flopped again that she's fully endorsing Trump. But it does take, here's the thing. I couldn't do it. I think it's gross. But if you stick to your principles, which, again, I hope Nikki Haley does, but if you stick to your principles and you say, I refuse to kiss the ring, you get Liz Cheney'd. She's politically irrelevant. Adam Kinzinger is politically irrelevant. Sure, he's a great talking head on cable news. He's not going to change America. So the only thing I can think of is if Nikki Haley is doing anything she can do to help that party from the inside.
Better
but
hope.
She is the last flicker.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I am not saying that Donald Trump is dumb, because he clearly is not dumb. But do you think if he were listening right now, he would even understand what you're saying?
No, it's weird. It's like he has a great job on focusing on what do we need to do to be the best show? I don't know, and have the most power. I don't think he would care. I don't think he would care what I'm saying. The only thing he would care about is what I've said about him. I don't think he's particularly smart in politics. He's not dumb, right? He's look where he's gotten.
It's a different form of intelligence. Yeah,
it's a different. He's not going to lecture me on NATO, but I also don't think he cares about what I'm saying. Like, it's very much like, in the moment, what am I going to do on the best show?
Who around him understands it? Because someone's driving the bus. You know, I mean, someone understands every word you just said and then some. And this is what they want to see come from the Republican Party. Who are those people? Is it Vance? Is it?
You mean what they want to see from my point of view or the populist point of view?
What they want to see from an intellectual point of view. They understand the economics you're talking about, micro and macro. I don't. But someone involved in Trump's world does. Because someone's steering him in that way. I don't think Trump woke up one day and said, populism.
But I don't think he knows it's populism. I think sometimes you know how we always talk about how we have habits, and then someone puts a name to those habits, like quiet quitting or whatever it may be, and think, oh, you named it. I do think a lot of times with Trumpian MAGA politics, he is acting on impulse and what he thinks will be the show in that moment. And then we're all going, oh, that looks like populism. Oh, that looks like Republicanism. He's acting on his own impulse, which is why MAGA Republicans and those Republican leaders cannot be consistent in their policy views, because Trump is not consistent, because it's not on principle. There are no principles. You can look at some of the most prominent MAGA followers, and yeah, you have the culture war stuff, but they'll turn on a dime. They'll turn on a dime, because if Trump turns on a dime, it's not based on any principle or philosophy.
Interesting stuff.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
I'm fascinated by the we want to speak to the everyman, but we want to act for the rich guy. That's a weird dynamic.
We'll rock you. We will rock you.
You're a vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.